UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to UFO Chronicles podcast. I hope you're all having a good week. We're going to start off tonight with Shanda from Michigan. She will be sharing her experiences with the paranormal, astral projection, and a UFO that she observed in a park. Then we head down to the state of Virginia to hear from Brandon and his UFO and paranormal experiences, some of which occurred while he was working in healthcare at a nursing home. So if you're listening before you sleep, like I know a lot of you do, you might want to keep the hallway light on. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Shanda.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for coming on and sharing your experiences with our listeners today.
Oh, absolutely. No problem.
Calling from the state of Michigan.
Yes, Michigan. The Mitten.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Mitten.
Okay. You have a UFO sighting in a park and some paranormal experiences to share with us. Would you like to start the very beginning for us, please, Shanda?
Yeah, I'll start with some of my paranormal experiences first, if you don't mind. I would say my paranormal experience started when I was young. I don't remember the age, but I remember one time my mom had got me up real late. She always used to get me and my sister up to use the bathroom real late. It was probably early in the morning or whatever. And so I'm in the bathroom, using the bathroom, and she's standing there basically, and she didn't turn the light on. So I actually looked out the window, and it was like our neighbors had their porch light on, so you can kind of see the light, but it was actually like a silhouette of a man like standing there. You could see him like from the side, and I knew it wasn't an actual person standing out there. It's just something was so eerie about it. I knew it was like a spirit or a ghost or whatever. So that was the first thing I could remember when I was younger. Actually, in the house that we grew up in, I have four other siblings. So the house was like, it was an old house. It was, I think it's 1926. It was built or whatever. So it was a pretty old house. It had like a cellar for a basement, really, and an old attic when we first moved in, so it was really old. But I remember one time I had like this weird dream, I guess I was dreaming, where it felt like a spirit or something was trying to get into my body and actually show me something, and it actually did. So I remember me and my sister shared a room. So I remember looking over to my sister one night. It was when this thing got inside me, whatever. So I'm looking over to my sister in her bed, because she had her bed on one side of the room and I had mine. So I looked over and it wasn't her. It was like some lady. I'm like, what the heck is going on? It was so weird. And I woke up, and then I see this dog come in the room. It was like a Dalmatian dog. And so this dog is basically standing there. So I get up and I'm following a dog, because it seems like the dog wants me to follow the dog through the house or whatever. So I'm going through the house. The house looks completely different. It looks like it was a whole bunch of old stuff, like old couch and table and like really old. And the dog leads me upstairs to the attic, and I look around, and it was like how the attic looked when we first moved in. Now, mind you, we had the attic renovated, so it wasn't, it didn't look anything like that at the time. So it was so weird, and that's all I remember. And then I woke up, and it felt like that whatever the same ghost spirit thing or whatever it was trying to enter me again, but somehow I blocked it. And then I just woke up completely. So that was just one weird thing that happened. And I remember another time me and my sister was over at my cousin's house. She lived in Detroit. Her and my mom had went out. We were like, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11. And my mom was like, okay, you guys stay here. They went out. So she left us at her house or whatever, and we were in her basement watching TV or whatever. So all of a sudden, me and my sister hear this like boom, and we were scared. You know, it was just us there. So we were like, what the heck is that? So we go upstairs, and my cousin had like this small refrigerator, and it was just open. And we were like, okay, that's weird. So anyway, we go back downstairs, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing like this noise. I'm like, what the heck is that? And then I tell my sister to turn the TV down. And I kid you not, it sounds like it was so clear. It was like a man snoring real loud. And it freaked me out. And then when my mom came back home or back to my cousin's house, it was so late. So we just stayed the night. And then I told my mom, I said, listen, and she actually heard it too. It was so weird. And it was just us down there. So that was like another weird thing that happened. And it was just, and another, okay, I remember another one. Okay, so we moved into this house. This was like 2006. We moved into a new house. It wasn't new, but we moved into a house in this neighborhood. This was in East Point. Me and my sister wanted to check out the house. We already had the keys to the house, and this was before we moved anything in. So we go in the house, we go upstairs, and we're just looking around, and all of a sudden we hear this like boom. Like somebody threw a bowling ball down the stairs. So we go to the stairs and there's nothing there. And there's nothing in this house. It's just me and my sister. The house is empty. So that was another weird thing that happened. Okay, I'm done with paranormal stuff. It's probably more stuff, but I'll pass on that. Like throughout I want to say this started maybe in my late teens, early 20s. I've had sleep paralysis, like issues with that, because I know I remember I used to before that. I used to can sleep like I right till this day. I can't sleep without my TV on. Like I have to have the TV on or something because of the sleep paralysis. And what happens with that is it's like I'm sleeping and of course I can't move, but it feels like something is crawling on me. And I've had situations where it felt like something was pulling the covers off of me a couple times. But the sleep paralysis just freaks me out. I feel like it's something evil. I don't remember seeing anything, but it's definitely a presence, a heavy presence, like it's something crawling on top of me, heavy. And I can feel it coming on. So it's just a weird feeling. I can't explain it. I think since I was younger, I didn't know what it was at first. I remember when those Insidious movies used to come out? or when it first came out.
I sure do. They were scary.
Yeah, that was creepy. And the little kid in the movie had like they called it astral projecting. I didn't know at the time what it was, but it wasn't until that movie came out is when I noticed like, okay, that used to happen to me. So I looked it up, astral projecting. I never even heard of it until that movie came out. And so I looked it up and I was trying to find, you know, read up on it and look up, you know, things. I'm on YouTube and I came across, what's his name? Ryan Cropper. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but I came across one of his astral projection. He popped up and he actually explained it. He actually gave like directions and kind of techniques on how you can do it. So I actually did it and it was so weird. It actually worked the first time. And when I did, it was so weird. I seen like a older lady in my room or something. She was a really old lady. And then I seen a young man. These are, I guess they're spirits, or I don't know if they're in limbo or what, but that's what I seen. I guess you would have to see one of his videos, but he was saying like how he would astral project. He would like jump in the mirror or whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna try that. When that was the first time I did it, and I jumped in a mirror, and I remember like, cause I think I said I want to try to go to the moon or something. I don't know. It's just weird. So I jumped in a mirror, a whole bunch of stars coming toward me, and it's like I'm being pulled through space, but. And as I'm pulled through space, I'm going through the stars or whatever. So that's the only way I can describe it. I think I did go to the moon or whatever. It was weird. I was somewhere. The only thing I can remember is like this bluish blob coming up from the dirt and the ground. I don't know what that meant. Now I woke up. It's just weird. And it was another time that it felt like, I don't know. Only thing I can describe it as like I don't know if I was in a room and it was spinning around. And then it finally stopped and I'm in this place. And then I can remember like these people. I don't know if it was time travel. I don't know if it was another dimension, but I can remember these people wearing these long robes and garments or whatever. It was like some kind of futuristic high speed train just going. I remember that train. And then it was somebody standing there. I can't actually remember the faces, but I remember asking like, what year is it? And the only word that I can remember is eons, E-O-N-S, eons. I don't know. And I looked it up and I was like, whoa, that's weird, because I never even used that word ever in my life. So, yeah, that was another weird thing. But yeah, so I have a lot of just weird stuff. I don't know if they mean anything. It's just weird things that's been happening throughout my life, I guess. On to... Let's talk about the UFO sighting. So actually, I don't even remember. I know I looked it up, but it's possible that I filed a report with MUFON. I tried to look it up and it looked like, I don't know if you have to have a membership with MUFON or what, but I couldn't even look it up. I don't know if they want you to pay for that. It's possible that I filed a report. I can't remember, and I don't remember this. When I seen this UFO, it had to be either 2007, it was between 2007 and 2009 that I seen this. And it was in Roseville, Michigan. It was at a park called Huron Park. And it was at night. Don't ask me what time. It was nighttime, though. It was no, like, daytime. It was not in the middle. It was, like, night. So I had, what happened was I had went to the store and ran to the store for something, the grocery store or something like that. On my way leaving the grocery store, I'm at this light, and Huron Park is like right to the left of me, not too far. It's like, let's say 100 feet. That's where the fence in the park starts. So it's a nice size park because they play football, American football, and soccer. They play soccer there. So I remember seeing a lot of kids and stuff there all the time. And this particular night, I remember it was a cop car parked in this, like, the small little parking lot right next to the field. And so I'm at this stoplight and it was a car in front of me. I remember it was a car in back of me. It was cars, you know, it was people around. So it was cars. It was traffic around. I'm approaching the park and the stoplight. I see the light just caught me. So as I stopped, I'm like, oh, my God, what is that? I didn't really say that. You know what I said? Like, what is it? WTF, right? So I'm like, what is that? I think when I seen it, it was actually landed from my memory. It was actually on the ground. And it was just, it was an orange fireball. It was like pulsating, though, like really slow, like on and off. But it didn't, when it went out, it didn't go completely out. But it was so bright. I couldn't see like a shape or anything. There was no noise. It was just pulsating real slow, on and off, real slow. I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh my God, I need to pull over. I want to pull over. But I just kept looking. It was like, like I said, it was a cop car parked right next to the park. And for some reason, I'm like, I don't know. This cop might say something. I don't know. It was just so weird that that cop car was there. I don't know. It was strange. So I'm like, I'm going back and forth. And this is in a small time period. So I don't know, a couple minutes or something, right? Because I'm waiting on this light to turn green so I can turn. And there's a car in front of me. So I wanted to get out so bad, but I didn't. And I always regretted that. I'm like, I should have pulled over. So as I'm sitting there, it's landed, like I said, and it's on and off. The light was so bright. It was so bright, but it wasn't blinding. It's hard to explain. It didn't hurt my eyes, is what I want to say. So as it's going on and off, it started to rise really slow. Started to rise really, really slow. And so I'm looking at it. It's keep rise. It kept on ascending and going up and up. And I didn't actually watch the whole thing because the light had turned green. And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go. And I want to watch this. And I was just like, forget it. So I just drove off. But yeah, that was the experience. But I knew what it was. I knew what it was. As soon as I said, what the hell is that? I knew what it was. And I never seen anything like that in my life. It was no sound or anything. I know what a helicopter sounds like. I know what a plane sounds like, you know, because I live not too far from a air base, you know, our forces, you know, Army, National Guard, all of them was there. So they used to fly over all the time. I knew what it was. It was weird, but I knew what it was. So that was my UFO experience. I've seen other things, but it was real. It's nothing that close. I felt like I could have just got out my car and touched this thing. That's how close it was.
How big do you think it was, Shanda?
I couldn't see a shape. The only thing I saw was this light. The light was, it was big. It was, I wouldn't say it was gigantic, but it was a nice size, probably the size of a car. It's the only way I can describe it. A van or SUV or something. But I didn't see like no shape at all. The light was so blinding. It was just a light pulsating on and off. Real slow. So weird, man.
And it stayed the same color.
Yeah, it was like an orange fireball. Like it was orange. That's the only way I can describe it.
I wonder if the police officers knew about it.
It was just something weird about that police car. Just sitting there. I don't know. I just got a weird feeling with just looking at that police car. And I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna just go. It was something telling me don't get out. I don't know what it was, but I didn't get out.
I wonder if there was anything on the news about it.
You know what? I tried to look for it. Nobody reported. It was so weird. It was other cars there. It wasn't like, this wasn't in a rural area or the country or anything. I mean, this is a suburban metro Detroit area. You know, it was people around. It was cars going by. Like, I don't know why. I was shocked. I couldn't find anything. I did find an article about some cab driver or taxi driver describing kind of something similar to what I saw. I'll give you that link so you can read his description of what he saw. This was like maybe 2010. but I don't, it wasn't the same time I seen it.
It was in the roughly the same area, was it?
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah. And when he seen it, I think he seen it like it was actually in the air, like moving in the air. I seen this thing, it was on the ground first, and then it just started to go up really slow. So weird. But I knew, like I said, I knew what it was. I don't know why, but I knew. I said, that's a freaking, I'm not going to say the word, but I was like, that's a freaking UFO. That's what I said. I said it. I'm telling you, as soon as I seen it, I said, that's a UFO. I can't believe it. And it was so random. You know what I'm saying? It's like I said, it's a Metro Detroit area. You wouldn't think you would see something like that where it's so many people around. It was weird. It was just random.
You had another sighting as well, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really brief. It was over, I want to say maybe less than 8 years ago, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, over my sister's house. Where she lives like even closer to like this military base. She lives closer to this military base that we grew up around. Yeah, it's nighttime, of course. And we were watching TV and she was doing something. I'm just looking out her window. Why? I don't know. There's nothing out there but the stars. And it was like pitch black. It was a clear night. So I happened to just glance real quick out her window. And all I see is like this light, like zip through the sky horizontally. And it was like, I seen some colors. It was like a purple, maybe bluish, maybe a green color. And it went real fast. Like if I would have blinked, I wouldn't have seen it. That's how quick it was. And is it just like skipped through the sky and disappeared. It was like zoop, 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 boom, it's gone. So that was another one I seen.
How high was it above you, do you reckon?
I mean, it was up there, like maybe a 1,000 feet, something like that. I'm guessing it was up there. I was just looking out the window, so I can't really gauge on how high it was, but it was high. It was as high as like, you know, like if you're at the airport in a plane, when they start to descend, you can see like the landscape or whatever. I don't know how high that is, but it had to be around that height. It was nighttime, though.
Okay, but nice and quick.
It was so quick. And like I said, it went horizontal. So it wasn't like I know what a shooting star looks like. It, you know, falls straight down, like a vertical straight down. And it wasn't like that. It just skipped across the sky and disappeared just like that. So, yeah, that was weird. And I remember, actually, you know what? Now that we're talking about this, I don't know if that's the first one, the park one, that might not have been my first one. I remember when I was in junior high, like eighth grade, seventh grade or whatever, we went to kind of a small amusement park and it was sunny out. It was summertime, I remember. And we were waiting to get like on the go-karts, you know, you can go around the track or whatever, little small go-karts. I was just looking up in the sky, the sun was out. And I saw this, it looked like it was just a bright white ball just moving across the sky, going through the clouds. And I was trying to find it and, you know, it was going in and out the clouds. But that's what I saw. And this was like, it was, the sun was out and it was bright and this thing was glowing even with the sun out. So I think that was my first one I seen.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, just weird stuff. I have a lot of just crazy dreams and the astral projection. Oh, I forgot to tell you about one of my the astral projection thing. Okay, so this happened, I want to say in my early teens. This was during the summer because I remember we had, you know, those floor fans or whatever. We didn't even have central air. We didn't have air conditioner in our house at the time. It was super hot. So we had a floor fan. I was sleeping, but I was waking up. So I was in the middle of waking up and half asleep, you know, like right in the middle of that. I was hearing this loud noise. It was like super loud. And I couldn't understand what the heck that noise was. That's the only noise that I heard. And the only way I can describe it is, you know, like if you watch a movie or whatever and they zoom in on one sound, like a heartbeat or something like that, and there's no other sounds around, like that's the only sound that you hear. So at first I was like, oh my God, I don't know what this is. And it wouldn't stop. And then it finally stopped, that noise. And then I put two and two together and I realized it was the fan turning. I don't know, for like a split second or 30 seconds or something, I had like super hearing. It was weird. And I figure that had to be, you know, years later, of course, because I didn't know what it was. I was freaking out. And I figured years later it had to be me astral projecting. Maybe, I don't know, me just entering back into my body or whatever. I don't know. So that was a weird one. Another one I had, this had to be around 2006 or 2007. I can't remember. I just remember the house we were in. But anyway, this house, the same house that I lived in when I seen the UFO. But anyway, all of a sudden, I think, like I said, I was astral projecting. All of a sudden I hear like a boom. Like it felt like somebody dropped a bomb on our house. Cause I woke up so loud, my bed shook and everything. So I jumped up. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? I get up, I go into where my mom's room. And I say, did you hear that? Did you hear that? What happened? What was that? And she's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And it was nothing there. So I figure, I don't know. I think what happened was, and I'm not sure, when you astral project, you know, your spirit or soul or whatever is, you know, is going out of your body or whatever. So I don't know. Maybe I had a crash landing and it just dropped right back into my body from the ceiling or something. And it was the loudest sound I ever heard. I thought a bomb hit our house. But that was, yeah. So those two was weird. So that's the only thing I remember about the astral projection. I've had some weird stuff happen to me. It's just weird. And the sleep paralysis, though, it really creeps me out. But every time, like when I can't move or whatever, and I feel this, whatever this evil a presence on me, I say the Lord's Prayer. Like I said, I'm not so much religious, but I am spiritual. So I do believe in a higher power or whatever. So I just start saying the Lord's Prayer and it goes away. And I would recommend that to anybody who deals with sleep paralysis and have that negative entity or whatever it is. When they deal with that, just say the Lord's Prayer. Even if you're not religious, just say it and it helps. That's my advice.
Well, yeah, when you're confronted with something evil, you know, you try anything, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it helps, you know, it helps. Yeah,
it definitely helps. Yeah. It's something about when you start saying like the Lord's Prayer, and I heard one of your other guests say she said Jesus Christ or whatever, and it does help. It snaps you right out of it.
I agree. Great stuff. All right.
Thank you, and I appreciate your show. It helps a lot of people. I don't even know how much you know, but it does help people. Saying all this stuff, you know, most people would look at us like we're weird or something like that, but you know, it's good to, you know, get it all out and have like-minded people listen to, you know, our experiences. It helps.
I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing that for our listeners, Shanda.
Oh, thank you. I needed to get it out, and I'm glad your show provided the platform to get it out. So I appreciate you. I appreciate the show, and I'm going to keep on listening. I'm almost caught up to the current episodes. Thank you, Nick.
Okay. You take care of yourself and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Calling from Virginia, USA.
Yes, sir.
It is great to have you on, man. Now, you're going to be sharing several different types of experiences that started at a young age.
Yeah, it's something that's been off and on since I was a child.
UFO sightings and a couple of ghostly encounters.
Yeah, you can just kind of wrap it all into a nice, neat package and put a bow on it and just say they're all strange.
That's great. Would you like to start the earliest experiences, please, Brandon?
Yeah. I think we'll just start from my childhood and progress from there. So a little bit of backstory. I was born and raised in southeastern United States, and the prevalence on the Bible Belt. I'm raised by very strict church-going parents, and ideas and ideologies of the paranormal weren't really nurtured or encouraged. So most of what I experienced was kept to myself, but it started, I think, probably one of the earliest memories I had, and I don't remember the act of doing this, but I was about six or seven. We had just moved into a new house, and the toy shelf that I had stored all my toys on as a child, it was just a bare basic shelf made of plywood, and it had been moved to the basement in this new house. And I recall looking at the side of the shelf, and there was a lot of, you know, childlike drawings on there, and most of them didn't stand out, or but there were a few that were odd that I took note of, and I asked my mom, I said, what is this and when did it happen? And she explained that I had drew these pictures when I was about 3 or 4 years old, and they were the stereotypical image of a gray alien head, you know, the upside down raindrop with the almond shaped eyes. It just kind of struck me as odd that this wasn't at all abnormal to my mom, that her 3-year-old son was drawing these heads of these creatures, for knowing good and well that I had never been exposed to anything of the sort. So that's kind of where it started. And then as I got older and more things happened, I kind of have my own theories as to where those come from, but we won't really get into that. It kind of stayed dormant as far as the activities through most of my childhood. I would see, you know, maybe ghostly shadows in the corners and look, and they were gone. Things that are so easy to dismiss that I didn't give too much thought to. It's only in hindsight and looking back retrospectively that you can start piecing a lot of the dots together. I also remember being about 10 or 11 years old, having a sleepover with one of my buddies, and he woke me up in the middle of the night and asked, "What is this on the ceiling above our head?" And of course, you know, being a child, being groggy, you kind of dismiss most of it, but I had rolled up and looked at the ceiling, and there's this black pronounced dot. I mean, it was just a black dot on the ceiling in his room. And being half asleep, I didn't put a lot of thought into it. I just shrugged it off, told him I didn't know what it was. We both went back to sleep and briefly talked about it the next day, but it was something that stayed with me. And this particular friend I had grown up with closely, he was a friend through most of school and college. And it was later in high school, secondary school, that I had brought the topic back up to see if it was something that actually happened or if I dreamt it. And he says, "Yeah, no, that happened. I had forgotten about it until you mentioned it. But yeah, I remember that too." So, you know, little things like that as you're growing up just kind of punctuate my childhood. It was about that same time, around that same age, I was with my dad, and we were riding through town, headed to the store or whatever journey we were on at the time. And he points out in the sky, he says, "What's this?" So I look out of his driver's side window, and there's this massive fireball flying through the sky, and it's not moving quickly like a meteorite. It's just kind of just suspended there almost. It was burning, but it was moving. You could tell it was definitely wafting through the sky, I guess you could say. But it was just very odd, you know, the large fireball, not a lot of people getting out and looking at it, but we definitely noticed it. And when we got home later that night, he said he was going to report it to the sheriff's department. And the sheriff's department had informed him that same report had been coming in for a while, but furthermore, that report had been, that sighting had been reported up and down the eastern seaboard. So we weren't the only ones that saw it, obviously. Moving forward, about 13, 14 years old, I was in a neighborhood with a lot of children, so there was always somebody to play with. But in the summer times, we would sit on my driveway, which was a pretty steep driveway. But during the summertime, that's what we do, is we'd lay on the driveway and just watch stars. And the conversation of extraterrestrials and paranormal instances wasn't something that come up, especially at that age. But we happened to be out on the driveway that night, and one of my friends noticed something out of the corner of his eye and got our attention. So we all look, and it was a brief sighting, but it looked like, I don't know if me of your viewers are old enough to remember this, but there was a toy that came out in the late 80s, early 90s called the Illuminator football. And it was just a foam-shaped football that would have a light on the inside of it. So that's what it looked like. It was just this oval-shaped light in the sky that was emitting its own light source that was coming from within the craft. But the second that all of our attention focused on it, it blinked out. It just was gone. So, well, we talked about it, but, you know, like kids do, brush it off. Don't put much thought into it and move on. Things like that really just encompassed most of my childhood and teen years. And since I wasn't encouraged in my house or really something that was talked about a lot, it was just something I kind of kept to myself. Now, my father is a very analytical type A personality. It's black or white. There is no gray area. But he was big into science and astronomy. So the knowledge of constellations, planets, the night sky was a very familiar concept with me and my family growing up in our household. But beyond that, the extent of any kind of life existing, it was absolutely 100% definitively no life exists elsewhere besides this planet. So it wasn't like these ideas were being planted in my head. So having that kind of knowledge helped. It kind of helps wrap your head around things that would come later on. So that's just kind of basically the foundation of where I'm going with all of this. And around the age of 18 or 19, I had started a career, and I was in college for healthcare, and at the time was pursuing a degree in nursing and had gotten a job at a local nursing home or a long-term care facility. And working at this facility, you hear, especially in small towns, everybody's got crazy stories. It's either their youth growing up, the things they did, or, you know, weird things that people believe. You know, we've got sayings called wives' tales, which are just sayings that, you know, people go by. So hearing things like ghosts and odd happenings within the nursing home was another thing that I had just dismissed. It wasn't until I had changed the shift that I was working on. I had worked in the afternoons until about 10 or 11 at night. And the new shift I was working was a double shift. It would go from second to third. So I was working from 3 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it wasn't long after taking on this new shift change that I started noticing more, I guess you could say, paranormal experiences, but still not enough to really ping on the radar, until one night I was sharing responsibilities with another nurse assistant. And what we would do is on the hall that we were on, it was a long, narrow hall with resident rooms on both sides of the hall. So we would sit in the middle and I would face one way and she would face the other, and we would just answer call lights or assist anybody that needed it at the time. But during the night hours, most people are asleep. So we just find other things to keep ourselves entertained, like play cards or read a book, what have you. So she and I were having a conversation, and keep in mind, we're facing each other so we can see opposite ends of the halls. And she stopped mid-story, and the blood drained from her face, and she was just as white as she could be. And she started to stutter, but she couldn't get her words out. So she points over my shoulder, and as I turn around, there was this shadow figure. I mean, a pronounced form of a figure. I don't know if it was a human being or what, but it, you know, had the arms, the legs, and a head, but no defining features beyond that. It was just this black figure that had moved into one of the rooms of one of the residents that were notoriously nefarious, is the best way I could say it. They weren't very well liked, and it was well known in the small town what kind of person this guy was. So the feeling that we got when we both witnessed the shadow figure was definitely negative. But, you know, nothing happened beyond that. The shadow figure just moved into the room, and we go in there and investigate. Don't see anything, of course, but just an odd sighting. Another instance at the same nursing home, there was a gentleman that I had grown quite fond of, and he was very, very coherent. The only reason that he was there is because he didn't have anybody to take care of him. But, you know, he was well-spoken, very capable of taking care of himself. He was more or less just wanted the company, I suppose. But he was one of my favorite residents. And I remember coming into my shift, and one of the first things that you would do on your shift is you would get your report from the person leaving their shift, but you'd get report, and it would include vitals and daily activities that each of the residents had taken part of. So you have a good idea of what to expect for the shift that you're currently taking on. But part of that would be to go around taking vital signs for each of the residents, which, you know, includes blood pressure, pulse, respirations, things like that. And I moved into his room and noticed him, and we'll just call him Max because I can't give out his actual name for HIPAA protocol, but we'll just call him Max. And I walk in Max's room and he's staring out the window, and I ask him how he's doing, and he didn't really acknowledge me. So, you know, I kind of nudge him on the arm. It's like, Max, you doing all right? And he says, yeah, I'm fine. I was like, okay, I didn't know if you heard me or not. He says, oh, I heard you, but they're coming to take me home. Now, I kind of look at him and I was like, knowing that he didn't have any family to come remove him from this facility and take him home. I was like, what do you mean they're coming to take you home? Are you leaving us today? He says, yeah, they'll be here soon. And he's staring out the window the entire time. And so I just kind of thought it was odd, but, you know, a geriatric who don't know what's going on in his mind at this time, it's just odd. So I'm taking his blood pressure and I'm having a hard time getting a good reading on the cuff that I was using to get his blood pressure. So I'm watching Max's behavior, and it's just so strange. He's got this look of pure joy on his face, but he's emotionless other than that. It was just hard to explain. So I asked him, I said, who's coming to get you, Max, if you're leaving today? And he says, them. And he points out the window. And I look out the window and there's no one there. And there's a tall hill, grassy knoll right outside of his window. I said, I don't see anybody, Max. He says, oh, it's the choir of angels. They're coming down the hill. They're coming to take me home. And that's when the hairs on my arm and neck stood up. So I was like, well, I probably need to go let one of the nurses know what he's saying. So I walked out of the room, and it's a short walk from his room to the nurse's station, but they were also in the middle of giving a report. So it took me a couple of minutes to get her attention. But I let her know that he's acting odd and wanted her to come in there and assess him along with me just to make sure I didn't miss anything. Well, we'd been gone. I'd been out of the room no more than 5-10 minutes at the very most. And by the time we walked back, he was dead. He was completely deceased. He seen something and they came and got him. But the strangest story I have from that nursing home was at the end of the hall, most residents were paired up. So it's either two men or two women to a room unless they're married. And then it was, you know, husband and wife that would occupy each room. So part of the routine at night is around 10 or 11 o'clock, you know, before the other shifts would come on, is to do what we call a dry run, where we would go around and check all of the incontinent patients that weren't able to use the bathroom on their own. We would change their adult diapers and make sure they were dry and had good clean linen for the evening, so they wouldn't develop bed sores and things like that. And in this particular room, there were two ladies. One could not speak coherent words, but she could grunt, and we affectionately referred to her as Granny Grunt. And her roommate was this older lady. We'll just call her Helen. She wasn't a particularly nice lady, but, you know, I had to spend the rest of my days in a nursing home. I don't think I'd be too pleasant as well. But she always made a point to scream at the top of her lungs when we were leaving the room to close the damn door. And it was just something she said every night. So, you know, it is automatic response to close the door as you're walking out of the room. But that's just the kind of personality that she had. And, you know, no more abrasive than that. It's just, you know, an elderly old lady. But one evening I had come into work after being gone for a couple of days and found out that Helen had passed away. So, which wasn't uncommon in nursing home. That's actually very common. And you know, start my shift like every other day. About that time, we were doing our dry run, and I go into this, we'll call her Granny Grunt's room, to check on her and make sure that she was dry, and made note of the absence of Helen not being in her bed, and, you know, recalled the conversation I had earlier in my shift that she had passed away, so on and so forth. But I'm cleaning up this other lady and about to finish up, and what we would do for the fall risk residents was we would have these little mechanisms. It was a small box that had a magnet, and the magnet would attach to the resident. So if they got too far from the box, which was attached to the bed, it would alarm. And this was to notify us if they were to fall out of bed, or, you know, if something happened that needed immediate assistance. So it's important to note that she has this hooked up, and I made sure it was attached. It was a big time penalty if they were caught without these devices on. So I made sure it was attached, and I'm gathering up the trash and I'm about to walk out of the room. And as I'm walking away, she sits straight up in bed and holds her arm out in front of her and says as clear as day, please. I turn around and look at her, and I was like, what in the world is she's talking? And I look at her, I said, "What'd you say?" She says, "Please don't leave me." And I'm shocked. I have been working at this place for about a year and never once heard her make any coherent words, but that sentence come right out of her mouth, which was odd, but it's just part of the job. You don't think that much about it. So I laid her back down and made sure that her magnet device was attached and told her that I'd be back in to check on her in a little bit and she needed to get some rest. And she went back to doing what she normally does. And that was the end of the fuss. But as I'm walking out of this room, the door slammed shut. I mean, the second that I stepped over the threshold, it slammed with a force. And I'm a pretty big guy. It would have been taking me two hands and all my might to slam this door as hard as it slammed. But as soon as it slammed, every hair on my body was standing on end. And the person that I was sharing the workload responsibility with, she come running out and was just appalled that I would slam the door in the middle of the night. And she said, "Why'd you slam the door?" I said, I didn't touch that door. She said, "What do you mean you didn't touch the door? It slammed." I said, I'm aware it slammed, but I did not touch that door. And I remember as I'm walking out, you know, because it was automatic response to shut the door, that Helen was no longer there, so there was no need to shut the door. But apparently, in the afterlife or not, lights still disturb you when you try to go to sleep. So she got her damn door shut. So that was pretty much the highlights of the apparitions and ghostly encounters. I really hadn't had too many more experiences other than those. And my grandpa recently had passed away, and we moved into his house, and I would smell his cologne, and he smoked cigarettes. He smelled like Old Spice all the time, and he was very rough around the edges. But I remember being in his garage and would smell him standing next to me, and he just had such a prominent, such a defined smell. It was him to a T. So who knows what's going on. I just know that those experiences stayed with me, and it kind of added to my overall belief system as to it's all bigger than you. So at this point in my life, I am about, let's see, this was about 25, 26 years old. No, I was about 28 years old because it was in 2013. I had just moved home. I had been living with, it was my wife, it's my current wife at the time, but at that time in our lives, we were living in a different location and we had our differences and hadn't quite matured to the point where we needed to. So I had moved back home, basically starting over again, moved back in with my parents, and the house that they were living in had a basement apartment, and that's where I was living at the time. And I hadn't been home, I hadn't been living there, but about 3 or 4 months, and I had just taken a job at the hospital here in this town, and was working night shift. And up to that point, I had been working predominantly daytime, so my circadian rhythm was on track with most people that work day shifts. But when you go from working one shift to another, it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment for your body. It takes a while to get used to your sleeping pattern and things like that. So that's about where I was at mentally and physically when this incident happened. And this is probably one of the craziest experiences that I had. So just bear with me. So I'm living at the house, hadn't been there long, started a new job, was working night shift. And this particular night I was off. And I had planned to be off for a couple of days. So whenever I had a span of time where I was off, I would sleep, you know, at night and be up during the day. And it wasn't working out too well. I ended up waking up about 2:45 on the dot. I remember it to this day. Looked at the clock, wide awake, had no desire to try to go back to sleep. So I walked out on the patio of this basement apartment, which was covered by a covered sun deck porch. So your view of the surrounding areas was limited to what you could just see directly in front of you and to the side. But I'm walking outside. I admit I have a bad habit of smoking cigarettes. So I was walking out there to burn one of those. And as I was walking out, I just noticed it was incredibly quiet. It was strangely quiet, like to the point where it would make your ears ring. It was so quiet. And I just remember it being odd. And when you live in Southeastern America, there's no such thing as a quiet night. It's heavily laden with crickets and crickets chirping and bullfrogs and all types of wildlife that are year round because it's particularly warmer here than it is most of the country. So there's not any time of the year where it's just this quiet. So I'm smoking my cigarette and I am noticing at this silence and how eerie I was feeling. So I decided to walk out from underneath the patio. And as I'm glancing around, I look up and it was directly above me, probably about 1,500 feet, maybe 2,000. It wasn't very high in the sky, but there's this white ball of light. And it was dancing. I mean, it was zigzagging and moving back and forth, and it stayed in a tight grouping. Like, it didn't move all over the sky. It kind of stayed in one place, but it was definitely moving around in an erratic behavior. And it shocked me. What in the world am I seeing? Because anything that I had seen up to this point was just, you know, is either random lights in the sky moving silently, or, you know, or a flash here, something where you really couldn't get a good grasp of what it is you're looking at. You just knew it was odd. But this, I definitely knew that this was nothing that I had ever seen before. So this ball of light is dancing in the sky, and I'm just completely dumbfounded as I'm watching it. And I contemplated on running to the house and grabbing the phone, but you're just so stupefied by what you're seeing. All you can do is just stand there in awe. So I'm watching it, and it's moving around, and it stops, and it's a single point of light, and it literally transforms into a triangle. So it spawns two other white lights from it, from its single point, and they move out into a triangle fashion. And then out of nowhere, this red ball of light in the center of the triangle begins to flash periodically on and off. But it wasn't intermittent like an airplane. You know, those are regular intervals. This was just erratic blinking. It would blink, it'd stay off. It'd blink, 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 then be off. And it was just so odd that I'm sitting here watching this. I knew it wasn't an airplane. I knew it wasn't anything that we were capable of making. And if it is, then the government's done a great job at hiding it. So I'm watching this triangle with this red dot blinking back off and on. And again, it spawns two other lights, and they move into a half crescent semicircle shape. All of this over the span of about 2 minutes. So it goes from a single point of light that's moving to a stationary triangle with a blinking red light to now a stationary crescent shape, half circle. Five lights watching it. And the whole time I can't move. I'm just don't even know what to think at this point. But I watch it for another couple of seconds and it blinks off. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't make a sound. Never once did I hear a sound, but it just blinks off. And the second that the lights were gone, the sounds of nature, crickets and bullfrogs, all of that come roaring back. I mean, it was so loud at how apparent the sounds of nature were that it was almost deafening. And it kind of shook me out of my stupefied moment. And I'd run back in the house, and I had told my mom and dad what I'd seen, but, you know, like I was at a child, they just dismissed it and actually got upset with me for waking them up to tell them the story. So again, it was just something that I kind of set on for a while until I had reconnected with my wife and I had told her about it. Thankfully, she's had a lot of similar experiences in her life, and I hope to have her on the show soon to tell you about some of hers. But she completely understood where I was coming from and encouraged and nurtured my experiences and encouraged me to tell. And these aren't really stories I tell many people. I mean, I have to be really close to somebody to let my guard down enough to share these experiences, just because of where I'm located and the typical mentality of people in this area is just not something that you talk about. But thankfully, with her encouragement and my friend's support and your podcast, which I had started listening to not that long ago, I felt compelled to share some of these experiences just to kind of validate what other people are seeing out there. So
good job, man.
That's pretty much the extent of it so far. You know, the story's still being written. I'm sure I probably forgot a story here and there, but those are the most interesting ones we're sharing.
Some interesting ones there. The triangular shaped craft you saw, could you engage any kind of distance or size to it?
Well, like I said, it was about 1,500, 2,000 feet off the ground, but there was nothing behind it, so I didn't have any kind of depth perspective to compare it to, other than where I grew up, I was close to an airport. So smaller planes like Cessnas and whatnot would fly over all the time. And that would be about the height in the sky that they would be. So that's an approximation, about 1,500 to 2,000 feet. It wasn't very high at all, but the size, I would equate it to the size of a school bus being about that high up. So it was large enough to be seen, but not so large to where it took up the entire sky. It was just, it almost felt like it wanted me to know that it was there, and that was it.
Very unusual sight, and especially then it then formed like a crescent shape with the lights.
Oh, it was insane. I mean, the movement of the lights were seamless. They didn't blink on and off. There wasn't any other lights in the sky that come and join them. They would spawn within themselves and then move to these shapes. So I can't tell you if it was just one craft or there were multiple, because like I said, it was dark and there was nothing behind it for me to gauge it with, but it was definitely odd. And it was certainly nothing that I have ever seen before. Even in my childhood, the burning fireball and the illuminated football, this looked nothing like those. So I don't know if there's different types of crafts. I'm sure there are, based on other people's testimonies, but it was strange nonetheless.
Yeah, there sure are some various different shapes of crafts that people do see. I do particularly like your Max's story.
Yeah, that's and he was probably my favorite resident too. He was such a nice guy. You could tell he'd had a harder life in his younger years, but he took care of himself well. He would maintain pretty good health up until he was his early 90s. And to be as coherent as he was, I don't know if I'll be that coherent when I'm that age, if I make it that far.
Be more like Helen. Shut that door.
Yeah, that was something else. That's the one and only time I've ever had anything move on its own, you know, like poltergeist activity, things like that. I don't think it was a poltergeist. I just think that, you know, when people pass away, their energy, it's not destroyed. It transforms into another state. But I think that just from where she had lingered in that area for so long and her routine was what it was, she just wanted to make sure that it was followed. Going back to the to extraterrestrials, though, I've never seen or that I can remember any kind of entities. I don't feel like I've ever been abducted. I don't feel like that's the case here. And if I have, they've done a great job at blocking me from it. But I have always, as long as I can remember, always had this crippling fear of the gray alien head. I don't know why. I don't have reason to fear it, but it has always traumatized me. And I hate to jump around. I tried to keep it as chronological as I possibly could, but about age 7 or 8, shortly after we'd moved into this house, there was a dormer window into my bedroom, and it wasn't covered with any blinds or curtains. It was just a little decorative window that was built with the house. And I always had this overwhelming fear that one of the gray's heads would be peeping in. I'd beg my mom to put curtains up, but of course they weren't going to pacify my erratic fears that weren't substantiated with our religious upbringing. But I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why that the image of the gray's head has always been in my head, but it obviously has been from a very young age. And being able to draw them on a toy shelf with absolutely no exposure to any kind of science fiction shows or movies at that age, my mom done a really good job at sheltering me, more or less, until I was a teenager and could rebel and expand out and experience things that I wasn't allowed to experience at that age.
And it's relatively common as well. I've heard of quite a few guests, a similar fear.
I would love to meet them, you know, if I could have a conversation with them and ask them some questions. Yeah. What's the winning lottery number for next month's play? Things like that. I would have more questions, I think, than the fear would prevent me from asking. Because the curiosity, my curiosity has always been highly driven. So I think I would just enjoy having a conversation with them. I don't hope they wouldn't probe me during the process, but certainly would like some answers to a lot of questions I have.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions for sure. That's great. You did a good job.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And you've done a great job at just everything you've done with the show and making me feel comfortable at the beginning of it, especially. I appreciate you, you know, easing the anxiety there. It's certainly not something that's easy to discuss with just anybody.
No, of course it isn't. But, you know, it's just like a conversation between friends, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like.
Good stuff. And I like, you know, good key part of the show is getting to kind of know people and their past and the actual stories surrounding their experiences as well. It's a good thing to listen to. And I think that's why a lot of people do enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I feel like, and as I'm sitting here thinking now, there are a few more stories I could have told you, but it's just, I don't know. There's just so many different things, different experiences that I've had. And most of them, looking back now, I question, why didn't I look harder at this? Or why didn't I try to talk to more people about this specific instance? Or, you know, it's just at the time you kind of see it, you don't really know what it is, and you just move on. So, like I said, I'm sure I've left out a few stories along the way, but yeah, it is what it is. Well, I feel blessed to have had the experiences that I've had, and not just with the paranormal, but just all together, they've certainly helped put me on a path in life that I'm happy to be on. But working in a long-term care facility and seeing all different ends of the road for several different people, the most prevalent concept was the lack of regrets with your life. I think that was probably what stood out to me the most. You know, people that would carry these burdens or these regrets with them their entire lives, you could definitely tell what kind of toll that takes on not only your physical body, but your spiritual and mental mentality as well. It's all interconnected. And keeping things like that to yourselves and not sharing it, you're closing the door on possibly having somebody else feel comfortable enough to share their experiences or validate their experiences if they're having them. So hopefully some of my experiences might help some folks with that. They're having trouble enunciating or expressing what it is they think they saw. But I think the biggest lesson is just to pay attention. There's so many little things that people overlook or take for granted or dismiss like I did that are relevant. And it's only in retrospect that you can put it all together and kind of start to see the big picture that's coming from it.
Perfectly said. I think a lot of these emotions and experiences could kind of sit like a rock in your pocket,
mm-hmm.
weigh you down.
Absolutely takes a toll on you, especially if they're negative experiences. It's important just to get that out and kind of cleanse your spiritual palate. You know, if it's something that you're holding on to and it's obviously going to have an effect on you. So, and you're giving it more power, whatever the experience is, you're giving it its own power over you, and kind of move on past it, learn from it, and just kind of tuck it away in your pocket as something cool that's happened or something terrible that's happened that you've learned and grew from. It's all one and the same. It's all part of this giant book that we're all writing.
That's it. It's all, yeah, all personal development, isn't it?
Like I said, I'm thankful for them. And I'm happy to have been able to share it with you and everybody on your podcast. And I can continued growth and success that you're having with it.
Brandon, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this with us today.
No problem. I appreciate you having me. And hopefully I can get my wife on here and we'll bring up the tail end of the act or, you know, if something else happens, I'll certainly be reaching out to you in the future. And you've got a great show to listen to and you've got some great guests on here. So I'm really, really glad to have been a part of it.
Good stuff, man. You take care of yourself, all right?
You too.
We have reached the end of the show. So keep yourself updated and connected with the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Keep those emails coming in, and even if your experience was short and brief, you can also record your voice on your mobile phone app, then send it in to me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, and I will play it on the show. Just because it's short doesn't make it any less important. A big thank you to Shanda and Brandon for sharing with us tonight, and thank you all out there for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.